Well, good morning. This is Pastor Oz teaching the Why Jesus Women's Meeting this morning, and we are recording it. Apparently, the class was canceled today, but some people were notified it was canceled. Others weren't. There are members here this morning, and so I'm going to take just a few minutes to exhort. I'll see if I can persuade anyone else. We will not name that person, anyone else to get on to share. But I'm going to just share. My wife and I, we normally usher in the new year with a time of prayer. We'll usually start about quarter after 11 or so. And, you know, we'll pray 45 minutes, an hour, whatever. Sometimes we pray right. We pray through New Year's. And we really open ourselves to the Lord just to hear from God. We're praying, but we're also trying to hear from God in terms of what God is speaking to us, what God is going to do for 2024. So I'm going to just share some of those with you. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time. We know that Pastor Janine has a special, very important meeting that has come up today, and we just pray for the Holy Spirit to move powerfully and mightily in that meeting, Lord. And we just pray that, Lord, as I just share a few words of encouragement to the church for 2024, Lord, that you're just with us to lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. Well, kind of started earlier that day after Sunday service, which of course was New Year's Eve this past Sunday, speaking with one of the young men from our church. We talked about a paradigm that I've taught numerous times in the past before. It comes from Proverbs, and I talked about one of the main verses that sets the stage for the book of Proverbs is that we are called to get wisdom, to obtain wisdom. That wisdom is the principal thing, that wisdom is the most important thing for us to get as believers. And then it goes on and says, and with all your getting, all your obtaining of wisdom, get also understanding. So we recognize that we have this paradigm of understanding and wisdom, but as we often like to do with scriptural paradigms, we like to find three things. And of course, Proverbs talks about knowledge too. So what I'm looking at here is this paradigm of getting knowledge, getting understanding, and getting wisdom. Knowledge, of course, is just simple accumulation of information, simple accumulation of data. We would call it revelation of spiritual facts. It's things that you get when you're reading the Word. It's things that the Holy Spirit may speak or drop in your spirit. It's things that you get from a sermon. You're getting information. It's biblical information. And of course, for it to be true knowledge, it's spiritual knowledge. So it's revelation. So knowledge has to do with revelation of simple biblical facts and simple biblical truths. When we move from knowledge to understanding, though, is you have to take that information, that revelation, those facts you get, and you have to accumulate them. You have to put them together to formulate concepts. You move from just a bit of information here and a bit of information there to forming biblical concepts. And biblical concepts are things that contribute to worldview, correct formulation of doctrine, correct formulation of spiritual disciplines. That's what understanding is. Now, it is an unfortunate part of our human experience is that we tend to be creatures of knowledge. We have knowledge, but we don't have a lot of understanding. We don't have a lot of wisdom. And that's because of the way that we have an information glut. in our culture right now. You can just, you go on the internet, you hit the button, and you just overloaded with all kinds of information. And most people, or maybe most people, is not the correct way to look at it, but many people are satisfied just with getting bits of information, somehow thinking that because I have this particular information, I have truth. But information by itself is not truth. Information is simply, it's data, it's bits, it's pieces. You have to form those and put those together. You have to connect those truths to see, to formulate concepts. You know, it would be similar. The difference between knowledge and understanding would be, a good example would be a child learning the alphabet. Because they can recognize letters A through Z doesn't mean that they can read. They have to put those letters together to formulate words. And that's what the difference between understanding and knowledge is. You can have all kinds of information, but unless you put it together to understand God's understanding, to understand the Lord's worldview, to understand the Lord's purposes, we have to take information and bring it together to form purpose and principles. And so Scripture tells us we have to move beyond knowledge. Knowledge is valuable. It comes from the Holy Spirit. It's revelation. And you need those bits of information to string those bits of information together to formulate the purposes of the Lord in our lives, the principles of the Lord in our lives. I know I'm sitting here. I just wonder if my wife, who's a teacher, do you have, like, moving from like what I'm saying, do you have any, better examples that I've given of like moving from knowing the words in alphabet to knowing the words in reading that shows the difference between, knowing facts versus forming concepts? Do you have anything?
It's Bloom's taxonomy.
Yeah, Bloom's taxonomy.
Applying all that into like a project.
What would be under application? Because I think it was probably Bloom's taxonomy when I learned that in college. That's what helped me formulate this whole thing about the difference between knowledge and understanding wisdom. Wisdom is ultimate, is application. But what are some of the other aspects of Bloom's taxonomy? Do you remember? Okay. So basically, moving from words to concepts is probably close approximation of the difference between knowledge and understanding. But the Bible still says that the principal thing is wisdom. And wisdom has to do with the formulation of values, which is part of Bloom's taxonomy. Wisdom has to do primarily with taking what you know and what you understand and being able to apply those, being able to bring those into real life, being able to bring those into real human experience. In other words, being able to implement God's plans and purposes in the church, in our ministry, and in the world. So if we're going to look at it, knowledge is the Holy Spirit giving us revelation through the Word of God. Understanding is beginning to put those revelations into a bigger picture where we deal with the principles of the kingdom, the purposes of God in Christ. But notice, there's a gap, if you will. There's a big gap between knowledge and understanding and wisdom. Wisdom says that the things that I know, the things that are revealed to me, the things that I understand about God, I can take those now and bring those into reality. Difference between understanding the biblical concept of healing and actually laying hands on the sick and healing. there's a huge gap there. And one of the things that has, I used to say, it affects us in the West here, we're obsessed with information. We're obsessed with knowledge. We can even move into understanding. But what we have here is that age old tension between doctrine and practice, doctrine and spiritual reality. I hear the Holy Spirit saying, be careful when you use superlative. Many Christians figure if I've got the right information from Scripture, if I've got the right doctrines, I got it all. And you only have two-thirds of the pie at that point. It is absolutely necessary to have correct biblical teaching, correct biblical doctrine. But unless we implement those, that's maybe we call that spiritual formation. We call that discipleship. We call that spiritual reality. In other words, bringing the things to pass that we understand and know. And that's the gap. That's the gap I've always seen. You know, many years ago, we've been quoting this for years since one New Year's Eve, my wife and I were praying, and my wife just kept saying, something's missing, something's missing. And we use that expression often in our leadership meetings. Remember, Jan, something missing. We probably shared that with the church too. There was one year it was like, we're praying and we're seeking God, and we're asking God, and we're interceding, and we're petitioning God, and we're looking to hear something from the Lord, get a sense of something for the new year. And my wife just kept saying, something's missing. Something important is missing. Something's missing. And then we would always talk about that in our leadership meetings. What's missing at Lord of the Harvest? What's missing in the church in Detroit? What's missing in the church in the earth? And I've come to believe more and more is that we have much knowledge, much spiritual revelation. We have much spiritual understanding. But wisdom, which is the thing that Proverbs exhorts us, get wisdom. It's the principal thing. It's the most important thing. It's the main thing. It's the foremost thing. In other words, if you don't have wisdom, you don't have it. Okay, you don't have what the Word of God is really trying to communicate to us. Now, let's take another look at this wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. When I looked at the fivefold ministry years ago, when I began to formulate this, what is knowledge? How does that differ from understanding? How does that differ from wisdom? I began to look at the fivefold ministry. Now, the fivefold ministry is actually, when the fivefold ministry is being described by Paul in 1 Corinthians, I will look that verse up now. When Paul is giving this overview of the fivefold ministry in 1 Corinthians 12, remember, 1 Corinthians 12 is where Paul brings up the spiritual gifts, and that's when we usually teach about the spiritual gifts. We use the list of the nine gifts that are given in 1 Corinthians 12. And let me just state this I state this over and over, but people sometimes forget it. Those nine gifts are not the only gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's some Christians who look at that and they, well, there are nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're numerous, more than nine gifts. When I did my message for one of the Bible classes I was doing for one of the Bible ministries that I taught at some years ago, I created a list. The class on the Holy Spirit, and I created a list, and I have that list, and I tried to list all the gifts that are mentioned in the New Testament. I think there are 30 or 40, something like that. You just look at the different lists. The list of nine in 1 Corinthians, it's a representative list. It's saying, here are nine gifts of the Holy Spirit that are often functioning in the midst of local congregations. They were probably all gifts that were functioning or should have been functioning at Corinth. You know, Corinth is the epistle that we deal with the gifts of the Spirit. It's a representative list. So Paul gives another representative list at the end of 1 Corinthians 12, and this is what he says, starting in 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, now he's saying you're a part of it, and now this is, he gives another representative list of giftings, a second time in that chapter. He says, in the church, and he starts with ministries. He starts with the key ministries, which we call the fivefold ministries in Ephesians chapter 4. And there are five main ministry gifts. We would call them ministry hyphenated gifts. There are five ministry gifts that the Lord uses to govern in the church in terms of the church's ministry, but he only lists three of them. That list in Ephesians 4 is apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. But he only lists three here, but he lists these three for a reason. And in the church, God has appointed first apostles. Apostles are first. Apostles are principal. Apostles are foremost. Apostles are the most important. Sound like something? Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the first. Wisdom is foremost. Wisdom is the main. What I'm doing is I'm comparing knowledge, understanding, and wisdom with the three gift ministries that Paul lists. First prophets, or first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. Apostles are equated with wisdom. Prophets equated with understanding. Teachers equated with knowledge. And so as I've looked at those ministries and tried to practicalize, I've looked at those three categories of revelation and tried to practicalize them. I've said that we get knowledge from teachers. We get understanding from prophets. We get wisdom from apostles. So if we're talking about this glut of knowledge and understanding in the body of Christ, but this lack of wisdom, this ability to take what we hear in teaching and do them, it probably has something to do with the apostolic ministry. Now, these, of course, are things that I've taught for years, and I'm giving you this background just to tie in with the prayer that Jan and I had this past New Year's Eve. Many Christians can be overloaded with knowledge and think, okay, I've got so much knowledge, I've got it, I've got real Christianity. But the idea of saying that wisdom is the most important thing would say that understanding is not correct. So then some Christians press on and say, yeah, you know, we need more than revelation. We need the purposes of the Lord. We need the principles of the Lord. We need the presence of the Lord. And see, prophets do that. Prophets help bring us into the presence of the Lord and so to understand God's heart. And God's heart is what helps us to formulate the information that we get into understanding. But you know, you can, it's just like, you know, I'll say oftentimes, I'll say, you know, I'm 70 years old and I don't remember things like I used to, and I'll just say there's too much on the hard drive. What it boils down is the older you get, you just keep accumulating more and more and more information, and it's hard to keep things straight. Now, for me, for our church, because our church has always made it an emphasis to be quote unquote prophetic. I mean, when we first started out, that was the mantra 25 years ago. We are a prophetic church, and we've always been a prophetic church. We always press into the things of the Lord. We deal with more than information. You know, we talk about, well, But what's God's heart? What is he trying to say to us? What is he trying to show us to bring us into understanding? And I can tell you that because, I mean, you know, I have a reputation of reading more than many in the body of Christ. And it's true. My wife can testify to it. I'm constantly reading. I'm constantly studying. And I'm constantly moving beyond knowledge into understanding. But the wall that I have felt, and I felt it in myself, first and foremost, but I've also seen it in the body of Christ, is moving beyond understanding into wisdom. And if wisdom has to do with the apostolic ministry, it would be, again, the premise that I've been floating for a number of years, is that we really lack legitimate apostolic ministry in the body of Christ. There are apostles, and there is apostolic ministry. But I can tell you this, and this won't be anything new to you, if you're part of Lord of the Harvest, a lot of people who call themselves apostles, I think, quite frankly, they're just not apostles. What's happened with us is because we know the importance of apostles and apostolic ministry. We even understand apostolic ministry. See, notice the word I use. We understand apostolic ministry because we desire apostolic ministry. None of those are qualifications for being an apostle. Okay. It doesn't say, well, you know, I know we need apostles. Well, that makes me an apostle. No, it's just you could be a teacher who understands the importance of that. To say, to desire to see apostolic reality in our midst. I mean, everybody in our church, everybody in many churches desire apostolic ministry. But in even talking with a pastor friend that I haven't talked with in a while yesterday, the phrase we would always use when we would get together and pray together was, we got to just keep pressing in. We got to keep pressing in. We got to keep pressing in apostolic ministry. Well, what does that imply? It implies that we're not in apostolic ministry. We recognize the need for it. We have the desire for it. We're trying to press in. And that's wisdom. The good part about trying to press in, and you know, he and I are both about the same age, and the kind of working phrase we had in our nearly 1 hour conversation yesterday was, we're still standing. You know, we were talking about brethren that had gone home to be with the Lord in the past few years, and you know, we've lost some giants and people that he's related to, and people I know have lost giants. They've gone home to be with the Lord. He said, but we're still standing. And then what he said after this, we have to continue to press in. In other words, I'm talking to somebody else who desires wisdom, who desires apostolic ministry and apostolic reality. And he is confirming the same kinds of feelings that we're just not quite there on the level that we need to be. Now, the remainder of the message, that's just setting up what happened when we were praying, which I'm just going to make a few observations of our prayer, and we'll have the Lord's Supper, and we'll dedicate the Lord's Supper to the exhortation, let's continue in the body of Christ, let's continue to seek to press into apostolic reality, apostolic ministry. But the heart and soul that he was sharing with me was, yep, we're still here and we're going to still keep pressing in. And it means whether we're you know, boomers, or we're Gen Z, or whatever comes after Gen Z, and whatever's in between boomers and Gen Z, we cannot stop. We cannot quit. The image that I always had was coming, the generation that came out of Egypt into, and we're called to take the promised land. They quit. They quit. They just quit. And you look at, oh, the Lord, he slew them all in the wilderness. He didn't slay them all. He said, you quit. You're too old. You quit. You said you're finished. You said you've got enough. Okay, next generation. We'll pass it on to the next generation. God never is without a plan. I mean, it's like, oh, well, you know, Mike Osminski's generation didn't do it. Oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? God is just like, okay, next generation. Let's see what, you know, Rob Elliott's generation wants to do. But so to me, the issue has always been, one of the main issues is don't quit, don't give up. And when I look back at all the brothers and sisters I've known in these 50 some years of serving Christ, since I was still a teenager when I found Jesus and the Jesus movement, is that many have quit. And by quitting, it isn't that somebody goes out and starts worshiping another God, but we just say, well, we become content with what we have. We become content. And, you know, we can be content with, well, you know what, I'm getting up. I'm going to retire and just work on my marriage. Or I'm going to devote my life to my children and my grandchildren. And secretly what we're doing is we're quitting. We're quitting. Or we can pretend we're still doing the things of the Lord, but we're just teaching the same things and believing the same things have believed for 20, 30 years. We've got no new revelations from the Lord for 30 years. Even though what we had 30 years ago was great, and it's still great, and it's true, it's not pressing in. And that doesn't mean our marriages aren't important. It doesn't mean our families are not important. But we have to understand that for us as a generation, for us as a church, and that includes many generations, if we stop pressing in to what God raised us up for when we first came to Christ, then we're quitting. It's what we're doing. And one of the reasons that we just haven't seen that apostolic breakthrough that we'd like is it's hard. The apostolic breakthrough demands change. Do you know when they do some studies about, you know, people who you know, get older, and they've talked about it in terms of you know, people, you know, just kind of falling into dementia or falling into just kind of old ageism. They talk about, when they look at some statistical studies, they talk about the people who don't necessarily, that doesn't happen to them, and the thing for people that it does happen. And I'm being really careful here. I mean, I understand that I'm not saying that everybody with dementia didn't do what the people who are doing who don't have dementia. I know a lot of that, it's physiological, but it's about exposing yourself to new things, exposing yourself to different things. It's not reading books that just agree with what you believed in for 30 years as a believer, but finding a book that challenges you, finding a book that challenges the status quo, having different experiences in Christ, not saying, you know, we've had the same experiences in Christ for these last 30 years, and that's how we do it in our church. We're not going to move from doing it the way we always do it. Spiritual dementia can set in that way. Spiritual old ageism can set into that way. Status quoism can set into that. And so I think much of birthing the apostolic has to do with really being open to the Holy Spirit to change. To change is the real key, and these studies that I read, it was talking about generating new brain cells by having new experiences, by hanging out with new people, different people, by hanging out with people who see things different from you. And of course, I mean, we've been talking about in the church in terms of racial reconciliation and just, you know, recognizing in the church, the predominant theology in the body of Christ, at least in the West, is still a Eurocentric theology. It's what has come down from our Christian European ancestors. And again, missing the fact that in the early church, there was an African segment to the early church. There was an Asian to the early church. There was a European, and there was a Jewish perspective in the early church. There were indigenous perspectives, people that were considered. That's when Paul talks about the barbarians and the Scythians and things like that. Those were always people outside of the European, African, Asiatic part of the Roman Empire. And God, it's listening to other voices that help us. And then it's not only listening to other voices, it's coming together with those other voices. Well, that's my general exhortation. So let me close with our prayer. And Jan, you can certainly add anything to prayer. I'm just a couple things that really stood out to me in the prayer was, I think what's missing, this was my side of the prayer, I really think what's missing is God wants to bring significant, powerful transformation, change to the body of Christ, taking us places where we've never gone before. And of course, these are familiar themes. And I was just praying into that. I said, Lord, I was thinking of the conversation that I'd had with the young man earlier in the day. And we were discussing just in terms of his own experience, the difference between knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. I just said, Lord, we need wisdom. In 2024, Lord, let there be a revelation of Jesus that brings us to the place of wisdom, that brings us to the place of apostolic breakthrough. And of course, I mentioned earlier in that day on Sunday, Reggie Holliday's, our national prayer that we pray on Sunday mornings. And Steve Fado led the prayer. And, you know, Steve is just, as many Christians are, really desiring for the second coming of the Lord to happen in our lifetime, in our generation. But he talked about the church needs to be prepared for the coming before the coming of Jesus. And of course, that goes along with what I've been teaching on Wednesday nights. You know, Jesus comes and he comes again and he comes again and he comes again and again. And so Jesus, and Jesus is constantly coming to us. But Steve was talking about this greater revelation of Jesus that echoed in my heart. It bore witness in my heart. It helped me in the prayer that Jan and I were praying on New Year's Eve in the evening. And then the next day, I talked to a pastor, a friend that I haven't talked to in maybe a year, year and a half, something like that. He echoed the same things. It's this coming that's going to take place before the coming. And so the one difference, and this is what I sense, and I sense it when we prayed. I just sense, because every year we pray the same, Lord, just let there be a breakthrough in 2024. Lord, let there be a powerful manifestation of transformation in 2024. Let Jesus be unveiled in 2024. Let us enter in and press into apostolic reality in 2024. But this time, as I was praying, I said, but there's something different about this prayer this year from any year I've previously prayed it. And I realized the difference is me. I'm the difference. I have a faith. I have an expectancy. I have an anticipation. I have a sense of excitement about this that I've never had before. I have a capacity of faith that there something powerful is going to take place in 2020, something very significant and very powerful. And I don't know if everybody caught the nuance when I shared it on Christmas Eve, and I was talking about the difference between Advent and Christmas. Advent and Christmas on the liturgical calendar are two separate seasons. Advent ends every year when Christmas begins. But it's interesting, in the ancient church, Christmas begins on Christmas Eve. But Advent is the four Sundays before Christmas. So Advent was, the fourth Sunday was December 24th. And I said, it's not like it never happens. It's going to happen periodically. But this is a year where Advent ending, Christmas beginning, were on the same day. It's not usual. And that just, it just hit me in a funny way to say, well, good, let this be an unusual year for the coming of Jesus. Because Advent is about the coming of Jesus. And again, I wasn't saying that remark that the second coming is going to take place this year. I was saying that there's going to be a revelation of Jesus, a coming of Jesus in the midst of the church that may move us out of that blockage, the blockage between understanding and wisdom. And to me, a big, big manifestation of that blockage is that just the things we can't seem to break through. And right now, I mean, to me, mental illness is, I've never seen mental illness at work in our young people, at work in people our age, just the level of mental illness. And what I say by mental illness, it's like it's an inability to see reality. You and I, if you have me here, you have somebody who's mentally ill there, and we're looking at exactly the same thing. And one of us is seeing what's there, hearing what's there, hearing what's going on, and the other one has a complete inability to see what's going on because they're trapped in their own false concept, delusional, or call it the biblical term. They're trapped in their own deception. And I mean, if Lord of the Harvest has been a testimony, it's just this inability. Every message, every experience, every time of ministry, every prayer, spending hours and months and years working with people and seeing no progress, seeing very little progress. See, and so we're praying into these things. I'm saying if there's an apostolic breakthrough, we're going to see it in mental illness areas. We're going to see it in addiction areas. We're going to see it in the release of people from all kinds of injustices. I mean, stop and think of it. The inability for someone, and it's not anymore about, you know, a law against abortion or a law for abortion. People do not conceive that there's anything wrong with abortion. I mean, they don't see it. I mean, it's like, it's just, it's those kinds of areas that say to me, where's the apostolic breakthrough? Because I know this, when the chief apostle came, he went, he laid hands on people, and he healed them. Now, you know, Jesus was casting out demons. That's what they called it, casting out demons. But that's because that's the way they thought in the first century. To me, that would be laying hands on people and healing them from mental illness. It's almost the same thing for me. And so the brother I shared with yesterday, who I hadn't spoken with in quite some time, we were talking about, because I haven't spent a lot of time with him these past years. And he just said, in our prayer time together, he says, we're overwhelmed with the mental illness that's in our world right now. It's like, amen. So I felt in the prayer, I have this capacity to believe God that we're going to see breakthroughs, to believe God to encourage people not to give up, to encourage people to keep pressing in. That was what I got primarily in my prayer. And I felt so empowered. It's not that I felt encouraged. I felt empowered to continue to press in that we're, you know, as Paul says, that your salvation today is closer than it was the day before. Paul talks about now is your salvation nearer than it was. And Paul was talking to a group of believers. He wasn't there about salvation in terms of personal reborn again experience with Jesus. He was talking about salvation as Jesus appearing and delivering, bringing a powerful move of deliverance to the body of Christ. So that was my prayer. And I'm going to comment on what stood out to me to Jan's prayer, and then I'll let her add anything she wants. And Mima, you know, I'm praying. I'm always, like I was talking this past yesterday, I'm looking for all these cosmic revelations and these visionary insights. And oh, God is going to move so powerfully and mightily. And I want to be able to go and in front of the church and say, this year, thousands are going to be, you know, those are the kind of revelations I think. And there's, and Jan started praying, she says, Lord, we just need to love each other. We just need to love each other more. Lord, just help me to love people more. And it's that's always the contrast between Jan's prayer and my prayer. Mine are these cosmic prayers. Hers are these prayers right, you know, just down to earth, practical reality. And when she got done praying and I was done praying, I said, you know what, the real key to this breakthrough, because there's another threesome that we can do here. We've got knowledge, understanding, wisdom. Teachers bring knowledge. Prophets bring understanding. And apostles bring wisdom. How about faith, hope, and love? I said, and hope is what the teacher brings. Because when the teacher, when we are exposed to biblical information, it builds hope and it builds expectation in us for God to move. Understanding prophets, when they bring you into the presence of God, when you get a prophecy, there's such a release of faith inside of you. Faith is released with the prophetic. And so faith is connected with understanding, with seeing the bigger picture, just as hope is related to biblical truth. Then the greatest of these is love. Apostles are first in the church, and wisdom is the primary thing, is the key thing, is the main thing. And then I said, and Lord, you're going to do this by revealing your love for us, which is big for Mike Osminski, because Mike Osminski says Jesus is going to reveal it. He's going to come with a hammer and smash all of your idols and smash down all of your foolishness, and he's going to show you how just wrong you are, which is why Pastor Oz grows churches from 180 to like 70, you know, because that's always been how God's going to do that. Because, you know, that's quite frankly, that's how God's done it in my life. But stop and think about, why does God have to smash so many things in my life? Because I'm so stubborn, because I'm so opinionated, and my stubbornness and my opinionation is idolatry. And the Lord's always saying, that's nice, Oz, but smash, not. You still haven't entered in the apostolic. And then I'm changing so much. I just thought, there's so much nonsense in the church, of so much false doctrine, false teaching, false prophecy. Lord, when are you going to come and smash this? And it's just this sense I got tying in Jan's prayer, and the fact that love is the first and foremost. And I said, yeah, I've experienced the prophetic. I've experienced understanding. I experienced teaching and reading the Bible and truth. And I'm still, there's a blockage from the apostolic and wisdom. Lord says, well, maybe there's a blockage with the love of God that's in Christ. And I just started getting this feeling that the Lord was going to reveal his love to us in an unprecedented way. And then the Lord also said, well, and you know, you don't look smart, and you're not always that smart, but you have been teaching on the love of God for about 16, we're at about session 16 right now. I said, okay, Lord, let's reveal your love, and let there be a revelation of your love, and let that catapult us into wisdom and to apostolic reality. Jan, any other insights about the prayers we had Sunday night? Miracles, unity, signs, and wonders. That really, and we did, we named a lot of you, a lot of you who are here, a lot of you who are listening, and a lot of you who may listen. We were naming names specifically, saying, Lord, move in this person's life and move in that. And it all kind of came together with, I think, Jan's prayer again for love. Even though I think I'm so smart, and I finally know what's missing now. It's the apostolic, and it's wisdom, and it's for this reason. We give up and all that. And Jan just says, we're praying for love. No, it's because of the love of God. So at any rate, that concludes this kind of emergency, just thrown together session of Why Jesus, which is primarily for those who are who showed up today and those who are online. So we're going to close with the Lord's Supper. So Jan, are you going to do the Lord's Supper for us?
Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for you have given us a word that we can meet with, a word to really seek wisdom. We have a lot of understanding, a lot of knowledge, but Lord, help us to string those together that will lead us to wisdom. Lord, as we're getting new people in our church, we need wisdom. We need to know how to answer their questions and what direction to lead them. So Lord, thank you that you are the great and almighty God who is just bursting with wisdom. Thank you, Lord, and help us every single day. In Jesus' name.
Amen.